Talking about wisdom, and we are talking about the wisdom that we need, but we're also talking about the wisdom that we do, that we make dumb decisions. We are human, and we've all done it, and God's desire is that we don't continue in our brokenness, in our own failures, and we keep making dumb decisions over and over again, and we just hurt ourselves. And so we've been talking about how can we stop being wisdom and start to live in wisdom and begin to follow God and begin to hear His voice and begin to find freedom from our own dumbness. Okay? How many know the biggest freedom that we can get is from ourselves? It's from our own flesh and our own sinful nature that just leads us into stupid places. And we know it's, you know, we can do the old, Flip Wilson that did "The Devil Made Me Do It." But we need to stop saying "The devil made me do it" and understand that, no, you know what? It's my fault. I did it. I made a stupid decision, and I need to begin to follow God. I need to begin to listen to God. I need to begin to develop a heart for God's wisdom. And so we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and I hope you've joined us as part of your devotion every day, reading one chapter of Proverbs. And so today you should read, you should be up to or read Proverbs 15. Go back and catch up if you haven't. That's okay. You can still do that. Catch up. And I know the Proverbs are, it's not all one message. There's a lot of different Proverbs. As you read each chapter, stop after each one and just let it sink in. Begin to look at your life. Have I put this into effect in my life? Am I walking by this wisdom? And as we do that, we can begin to listen to God in a deeper, greater way. Well, we've looked at a couple different messages. First of all, we looked at the fact that we need to look at this life as a precious thing, that we only live once. We talked about YOLO. You only live once. But we added on a little bit thing at the end there, that you only live once. But TJ, then the judgment. We don't live once and that's just it. We need to remember that, yes, we only live once, but then we do answer for that. There is another life after this. We live eternally. And so we, in this life, are determining where the real life is going to begin. And so, yes, we only live once, but we need to make right decisions because we are going to face consequences. And we talked about the wise person understands that life is connected, that the things we do are going to affect our future. It's not that we can just live once and that means we can just do whatever we want because you only live once, you might as well make the most of it. No, you only live once, so you better make right choices because you're going to pay for it for the rest of eternity. And so it said that the wise person understands that life is connected. The fool lives life as if he can do whatever he wants, and it's never going to come back to him. That's a foolish thing to think, because everything you choose to do will determine your destiny. And then last week, we talked about this term of consider the source. Okay, as we live our life, we need to consider what is the source that you're using to make your decisions. Are you listening to the world? Are you listening to the family around you? I love our family, but sometimes you can't listen to your family. I love good friends, but we need to listen to those and compare them to the Word of God. Now, friends are great if they're godly. Family are great if they seek the Word with us and find the Word of God. But we need to consider the source that we are basing our life on, and it needs to be the fear of God. We talked about that. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to begin to eliminate a lot of the terrible consequences in your life, we need to consider the source, dummy. Consider what you're listening to, the things that you're putting in your life. We cannot live a certain way and then wonder why our life is rotten on the inside, why we have no peace, why everything seems to go wrong all the time. It's not just happenstance. It's not just coincidence. It is a purposeful thing. So we need to consider the source. Today, we are looking at this statement, which is, now we need to stop being stupid. Okay? Once we've got the idea that we need to take a better look at life and we need to consider the source that speaks into our life, now we need to stop being stupid. Okay? You might say, we are all stupid at times. And we need to stop being stupid. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1 and 2, says this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in other words, I'm begging you, please, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm begging you, give your life over to God. Live your life as if it's not your own, that it is God's to do with, because that is your reasonable service. And then it says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that saying? It says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, you know what he's saying? He's saying, stop being stupid. This is what Paul is saying. I'm begging you, give your life to God, because that's the reasonable thing, and stop being stupid like the rest of the world. Instead, transform your mind so that you will know the will of God. If you will stop being stupid like the world and begin to let God transform your mind and change you, you're actually going to know the will of God. You're going to know the plan that God has. You're going to see God work in your life. You're going to see Him take your footsteps. And even though you can't see the end result, you will see Him work in your life. Even when bad things happen, you'll see Him turn it to good. You'll see Him bring good things out of bad times. But you need to stop being stupid like the world and begin to let God change your mind. Change how you think. Change how you see your life. So how do we stop being stupid? How do we not be like the world? Okay? We're going to look at five things. So there are five principles that we're going to look at real quick here that will help you to stop being stupid like the rest of this world. Now here's the problem. The rest of the world doesn't know that it's being stupid. In fact, they think that they're being pretty clever. You know, they think that they're cutting corners and they're getting pleasures and enjoying life and out partying, but they don't understand some principles like sin is pleasurable only for a season, but then it brings rottenness. You see, they think that they're getting away with all these things, but it says that God is not mocked. What you sow, you will eventually reap. But because we don't reap it right away, we think, hey, nothing's going to happen. It didn't happen today. Stop being stupid. God sees the big picture, and He wants to lead you out of that. So here are the five steps today that we can begin to change our mind, be renewed in our mind. First one, let's look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. This is what Proverbs says. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Wisdom is the most valuable thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in, I love this, I love the way, this is in the New King James, the way that, and in all you're getting, get understanding. In all your search for getting things, and you're getting things in your life and filling things up, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Get understanding. And you understand wisdom and the fear of God is the same thing. So when He is telling you to get wisdom, He's saying get God in your life. Begin to grow in the fear of God. Begin to put God as the focus of God, and you will have wisdom. When you seek wisdom, and what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing the truth and following it. See, wisdom is not knowledge. It's not having a lot of facts. It's not being the smartest person. In fact, there's a lot of people that we think are smart that they may have a lot of knowledge, but they're fools. Get wisdom. Wisdom is knowing the truth. This is why Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. Because the truth is what God sees. God sees from a higher advantage. He sees our whole life. He knows what you don't know. So how can we, if we just make a decision based on what we think, what we've learned, and what other people have learned, it's a very inadequate knowledge. The truth is what God says is the truth. And so above everything else, it says this is the main thing. The principal thing is wisdom. Doing what's right. If you will focus that I want to do what's right. I want to know the truth and I want to follow it. God, what's the truth of this matter? Maybe what we see is that I'm discouraged and I'm depressed and I'm feeling this. But God sees a different truth. God sees a truth that no, you have allowed this in your life, and we need to take care of that. So you see, he sees a truth outside of those things. Maybe we see the fact that, man, I've been real angry. I'm upset, and it's all because of what they did. But God says, no, the truth is not what they did. The truth is that you haven't been feeding on the Word of God. And so because of that, this simply pressed a raw nerve. That raw nerve was the problem, not the pressing. We think it's their fault. See, God sees a bigger truth in our life. The truth that we think is that I need just $500 more. Man, if I just had that, I could solve everything. If I could just pay off that bill. How many of we think? God says, no, there's a bigger truth. The truth has nothing to do with your money. The truth has to do with your values. The truth is the fact that you are valuing some wrong things, and you need to begin to follow the truth. See, above everything else, we need to get wisdom, which is the truth of God, and begin to follow it. So the first principle is this: desire wisdom with all your heart. First way to stop being stupid is you've got to want to know wisdom. Now, here's the big thing. You might say, that's an easy thing. Everyone wants to know, everyone wants to be wise. No, everyone doesn't want to be wise. You think you want to be wise. What you really want is you want to know the thing that manipulates the world so that I can work things out. I want to play the system. See, I want to know the right choice. Should I get this car or this car? What you really want, I want to know what will feed my desire the best. If we are truly to desire wisdom, are you willing to want what's best for you? Now, sometimes that might not be what you want. So when it says desire wisdom, it means are you willing to desire the right thing to do, even if the right thing to do is very painful? Are you willing to desire wisdom, which is doing the right thing, even though it might mean giving up something that you love to do what's right? But if we're going to stop being stupid, you've got to be willing to make that decision. I am going to desire wisdom with all my heart. I'm going to love wisdom more than things. I'm going to love doing what's right more than having the relationship with that person. My kids may have to hate me for a while if you're going to do what's right. See, here's the hard thing. Do you desire wisdom more than anything? Or do you desire to just not make waves in this world so everyone likes me? Or that I get my pleasures, or so it's nice and convenient? If you're going to stop being stupid, you've got to desire wisdom. Look at what Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 8 says this. It's not in there. Okay, we'll read it right out of the Bible, not a bad thing. Proverbs 4, verse 8 says this: exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. See, we need to understand that if you will desire wisdom above everything else, she will exalt you. Even though it's hard to do the right thing, it says if you will do the right thing and seek to know wisdom, you know what? God will bring honor to you. You may sacrifice, but you will gain honor. And your life will be better for it. And you will know the good things of life when you begin to honor. Proverbs chapter 2. Now this one's not up here, but I encourage you to turn over there. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 3, says this. If you would cry out for wisdom and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as you would hidden treasures. This is what it's saying. If you will begin to consider wisdom or doing what's right as more valuable than silver. Now that's hard. We value a lot of things. We value money, silver, treasure. Can you value doing what's right above money, above things? That's what God is saying right down to the bottom line. We have got to understand that truth and wisdom is more important than your paycheck, than your material blessings in your life, the things you love. If you will seek it more than silver and treasure, it says, if you will, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord will give you wisdom, and from his mouth will come knowledge and understanding. He will store up wisdom for the upright. He will be a shield to those who walk uprightly. He will guard the path of justice, and he will preserve the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you, and it will deliver you from the way of evil. You see, if we will love doing what's right, even though it doesn't seem to make sense, it says that if you will love what's right and follow God's ways, that it will preserve you. It will keep you. God says, I will be a fortress around you. It may seem like you're giving up a lot, but what you're doing is you're gaining my protection. You're gaining my trust where I will stand by you. Where the world is doing what they want, it seems like they're making such an easy choice and they're enjoying everything, but you know what they're doing? They are losing the protection of God. They are walking outside of his hedge. And you know what? I do not want to stand outside with God against me. I would rather have God for me. And so when we begin to seek wisdom more than anything else, God will bless us. There's a story of Socrates. And back in the day, Socrates would teach his followers. And one of his followers came up to him and said, Socrates, I want to know wisdom and truth more than anything else. He says, do you really? He says, yes, come with me. And so his student came with him and they went down to the river and he says, come out with me into the river. And he says, okay. Oh, he was expecting some, you're going to really give me some great truth here. Ooh, I'm ready for it. I'm going to learn. And so he takes his student. He says, son, let me teach you wisdom. And he dunks him underwater and holds him under the water. And at first, the student's like, okay, what is this? And then pretty soon, he's not letting him up. And he's not letting him up. And the guy begins to squirm, and he's kicking, and now he's almost passed out because he's drowning, and Socrates lets him up. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, this is truth. He says, no, I want, and he dunked him back down. And this time he held him down even longer. And he was blue, and he's dying, and the pain is in his lungs, and he's crying out. And finally, he brings him to his knees, and he says, I need the air! I need air! Socrates, here's the truth. When you need wisdom more than you need the air, then you'll know how to walk in truth. And here's the problem. God is saying the same to us. When you need me more than you need air. You see, when I become something more than just a fancy thing that you like and it's kind of nice to have, when I become something that you are dying because you need it like you need the air, then you will know wisdom. You see, we don't desire it like we should. Oh yeah, I want to do what's right, but do you desire it like you're being held underwater, you cannot breathe, you need it or you're going to die? We need to begin to understand that that is the truth of the matter, that we need God more than anything, and yet we don't think we do. We need to begin to desire it with all of our heart. And I mean with everything. You need to understand that you are desperate if you do not know wisdom. That if you do not know wisdom, you are walking straight to hell. You are walking into an eternity of pain and suffering and separation from God. It is something that you do not want, and we have kind of separated ourselves from that fact. You need to understand that so that we desire wisdom, because I do not want to face hellfire for eternity and never leave it. You need to desire wisdom, following God and His right ways more than anything. Then we will begin to know the work of God in our life. Number two, first, desire wisdom with all your heart. But the second thing is, we need to study and meditate on God's word and then obey it. It's all about the word of God. We need to know this. This, you want to stop being stupid? Right here. You want to stop going like the world? Right here. This is not some magical talisman that sometimes we as Christians, we just think, oh, the Bible. No, the words in it, what we read and what we do is what makes a difference. It's not the paper, it's not the Bible, it's some magical thing. It is the Word of God in our life that makes a difference. Not the Word of God on the pages, the Word of God in our life. Are you studying it? Are you meditating on it? Are you thinking? Meditating means thinking about it, soaking in it. David said, I meditate on your Word. I hide it in my heart. I memorize it. I think about it, because that's what keeps me from sinning. That's what keeps me from being stupid. And he was stupid enough. He made some stupid decisions. What would it have been without the Word of God? Where would we be without the Word of God? We need to study it. We need to meditate it. But then more than anything, we need to obey it. We need to begin to put the Word of God in our life. I cannot express more the importance of the Word of God. There is nothing greater in this Word. This is the wisdom of God. This is the incarnate. It says Jesus was the Word of God. He was just the Word of God made flesh. Because this is nothing more than the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the very essence of God's character. It was just put down so that we can begin to understand it and begin to incorporate it into our life. If you want to stop being stupid, you need the Word of God. You need to study it. You need to meditate on it. That takes time. That means you can't just read a verse, okay, I did my devotions, and go on. You need to meditate on it. You need to take time and think about it. Find out what that means. Are you doing it? Spend time in the Word of God. It can't be a 5-minute thing. We need to begin to let the Word of God speak into our life. Psalm 19, verse 7. Says this. Is that one on there? No. Okay, let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Says this. This book of the law. Now, back in the Old Testament, it was just the law, but it was still the revelation of God. Today, the law would include the whole Bible. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when? Day and night. Not just at 5 minutes in the morning before you go to school. Or 10 minutes at night before you go to bed, and really probably about 7 minutes of that you're already dozing off. Day and night you will meditate on the Bible so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. How many want to be prosperous? I want to be prosperous. And then you will have good success. Now, it doesn't always mean you will be rich. Now, it didn't say rich. It said prosperous. It means you will be full in your soul. That no matter what I go through, I will prosper in peace and in joy. And yes, God will actually even bless us outwardly, because He's a good Father. But I will have good success. God will set my feet on His plan if we keep the Word of God. Is the Word of God something that we meditate on, and begin to, what I love this, and observe it. In other words, obey it. It's one thing. How many have known people that they could rattle off scriptures more than you could ever believe? But you look at their life and say, I'm glad you can speak the scripture because you're sure not doing it. Right? I'm not talking about head knowledge of learning this scripture. I have people come up to me all the time. I've been a Christian all my life, and they can tell me all. I'm like, I really could care less, because you need to start doing it. There's simple things. You're just not doing it. You're just not getting it. It says you read this word and meditate on it so that you can obey it, so that you can observe it. That's the important part. We need to begin to walk it out. Let the word of God be our life. Third thing, we need to, very simple, we need to ask for it. You want to stop being stupid? Ask God to help you. We need to ask. It seems simple. The Bible tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Just come, let him ask me, and I will lead him through it. Now, it doesn't mean he just magically waves a wand and everything goes away. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. He will disciple you in those things. But we need to ask. A great example was Daniel. Daniel and the other three Hebrew children. He was put in a place, but Daniel humbled himself always. King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream he didn't know. Daniel came before God and said, God, you give me wisdom because I don't know. How can I interpret this dream? I don't even know what it was. He said, God, you need to give me wisdom. And it said that that night, God revealed it to him. The next day, he got the three friends together, and all of them had a praise thing, and they thanked God for wisdom. They acknowledged that it came from him, not from us. See, many times we don't ask because we think it comes from us. We think we can figure it out. We are prideful. We need to deal with our pride and begin to admit that I don't know, so I'm going to ask. And I'm even going to ask others that God has put in our life. If God has given you godly parents, we trust them. Ooh, that's a hard thing, I know, teenagers, to actually follow your parents. But you take what they say and you compare it to the Word of God. And we can ask our those in our life that are following God. And God will use people in your life to give you godly advice. Now, I go back to last week. Consider the source. If you're going to go to ungodly people, then don't be surprised when they lead you astray. But you find godly people. You go to God himself. You go to the Word of God. Ask, and God will give it. 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon was just becoming king, and remember, God said, whatever you want, ask it. And what did he ask? He said, God, I want to know what's right to do. I want wisdom. And this is what God said. He said, the speech pleased the Lord. It pleased God that he wanted to know wisdom, that Solomon had asked this thing. When you ask God, he's not going to be upset when you admit that you're dumb. God, I'm sorry, I'm stupid, I don't know what to do. He's not going to resent that. In fact, it's going to please him that you ask that. It says, then God said to him, because you asked for this thing and you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask that the life of your enemies would be taken away, but you asked for understanding to discern justice. And it goes on, it says, I'll give you these other things. Because you asked for right thing, I'm going to bless you in other ways. When you begin to ask God simply to follow him, God, help me to follow you more than anything, then you know what? He will bless you in other ways that you don't ask for. We need to begin to ask for wisdom. Number four, we need to embrace the brevity of life and have a long view. In other words, if we're going to stop being stupid like the rest, here's the first. Along with these things, you've got to start to understand that this life is short. You see, if you begin to enjoy the moment, you're going to lose out. All these other things, if it's only focused on the moment, you're going to lose out, because you need to understand that there's not too many moments, that you need to understand that this life is short. This life does not last long, and if you don't take advantage of it, you're going to blow eternity. If you live YOLO, like I'm just going to do whatever I want, you're gonna miss out because it's gonna be gone like that. You think, well, I'll serve God when I get older. No, you won't, because before you know it, your life could be gone. Or before you know it, you are older and you've always said that and you've never done what God has asked you to do. Or I'll serve God when I do. You need to understand that life is short. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to serve God. And you need to begin to take a long view. Because life is short, you need to plan for the long view. You make decisions not for now. You make decisions for eternity. You need to begin to ask for wisdom, not what will make you the most money, what not for wisdom that will feel good now. You need to understand, you need wisdom for the long view. I'm going to tell you, any one of you young people that are not praying, God, you find my husband or wife, you're a fool. Because if you try and pick them out yourself, you're going to be sorry for the rest of your life. And you'll have people in here say, amen. We've made choices on our own. We need God for the long view. We need God to begin to prepare our spouse even right now, whoever that's going to be. We need God to begin to prepare that man or that woman for us. Adults, if you are not praying that God prepares that next career, that next job, or the season in your life, and it doesn't matter what season you're in, you're a fool. Because if we're just going to go through and kind of just handle what comes along, you're going to miss out. We need to begin to have wisdom to plan ahead, to begin to look forward, to let God begin to direct our path so that when we get to that place, we have now walked the path that God has had. And then we will look back and say, I am glad that I trusted God way back then, because now I'm in a place that I am blessed. But it takes time. It doesn't just happen. The great saying, our Pastor Barham used to say in El Centro, things don't just happen, they're made to happen. You know, God doesn't wave a wand over you. He blesses the righteous who walks with him day after day, and those things are made to happen. Are we willing to see life as something short and precious? And I need to begin to do what God has for me today to prepare it. This is what Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 says. God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Every day I need to count this day. What can I do today for the future? Because there's only so many days. You don't have time to waste. Wisdom is now. I will gain a heart of wisdom if you will live today for the future. You live today as if you don't have any more, but you walk as if there's tons that I've got to make preparation for. When you begin to count your days and put God in there, he will guide you. Last one, and we close with this. Desire wisdom with all your heart. Study and meditate and obey the word of God. Ask God for wisdom. Embrace the brevity of life and take a long view. And then finally, and this is the most important, develop a strong relationship with Jesus. Because here's the thing. It's all about Jesus. You know, God even said, everything I'm doing is to give glory to my Son. Everything in creation is building for this thing to magnify my Son. Jesus is the point of everything. Jesus is the glory of God. It says God the Father gives glory to the Son. The Son gives glory to the Spirit. The Spirit gives glory to the Father. And all of that is surrounding. And the Son is the focal point of that. So in our life, we need to develop a relationship with Jesus. Everything you do, if you want to stop being stupid, here's the most stupidest thing that the world does. They ignore Jesus. This world doesn't want to hear about Jesus. It doesn't want to hear about the cross. It doesn't want to hear about following him. Sometimes it doesn't mind hearing about God, because God can kind of be anything, and it can kind of fit into their mold. But when you talk about Jesus, see, that's a specific thing, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the. You need to build a strong relationship. Do you have a strong relationship with Jesus? Every choice you make, It comes back to this old saying. We used to wear the bracelets, but it is absolutely truth. What would Jesus do? You cannot go wrong. The wisdom of God is what would Jesus do? And if you truthfully answer that by looking in the Word, by asking God, by seeking wisdom, then you will be able to be like Jesus. And when you are like Jesus, no, everything won't go perfect. You may face some persecution. You may face a crucifixion sometimes. But it says right now, Jesus is glorified among all things. He is sitting at the right hand of God. I'll take that. Whatever you go through, if you will follow Jesus, if you will build a relationship with Jesus, if you will listen to Jesus, if you will seek to follow Jesus, that is what will separate you from this world. It'll separate you from the other people in your class, other people in your family, because you've got to say, Jesus is my focus, not my friends, not my family, not my coworkers, not my job, not my success. It's all about Jesus. When it's all about Jesus, you will know wisdom. Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 12. And it says, the queen of the south, or Sheba, will stand up at the judgment with the generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth just to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. We've been reading Proverbs, which is the wisdom of Solomon. We know the story of the queen of Sheba, and many people around the world came to hear his wisdom. Jesus said, this queen and the other people that listened to Solomon, who was so wise, the wisest man, it said, they will condemn the rest of you because, behold, there is someone even greater than Solomon who is right here. And we know he was speaking of himself. It is Jesus. It's not the wisdom of your teachers. It's not the wisdom of your boss. It's not the wisdom of the people in your life that you think are so wise. Jesus is the source of wisdom and life and joy. Will we follow him? Will we listen to him? And so back to the verse that we started with in Romans. It says, therefore, give your life to God as a living sacrifice. Stop being stupid like the rest of the world and begin to let God transform your mind. Renew your mind. Begin to change your mind. Begin to do these things. Seek wisdom more than anything. Begin to study the Word of God and let it be your guide. Begin to ask God for wisdom when you need it. Begin to see life in a different way, that it's short, but I got to plan ahead. And then just follow Jesus. When you do that, you will stop being stupid and you will begin to see your life change. And you will see things become more clear in your life. Let's bow our heads.